primary thing in terms of sitting and sitting practice in Dzogchen is that we are comfortable. It's not conforming to a specific outline or a specific list of strictures. Now, the comfort in sitting in Dzogchen enables us to sit in a relaxed way such that the body is not a distraction. But the danger with comfort is that it's comfortable. We relax into it, we get too comfortable, the eyes cross and roll up slightly, and then we're gone. We can fall asleep, we can engage in sitting that isn't really sitting, it's just being off for a while. And if we are too comfortable, adopt a posture that's too comfortable, we are not going to be awake and aware and alive, vivid in our practice. So comfort is a support for engaging with these practices in the most productive, efficient way, which is wide awake. I'll also show you at the end an exercise, which is not a sitting posture, but it is a physical exercise that's very supportive of sitting in terms of being both comfortably relaxed and wide awake. The quintessential sitting posture in terms of Dzogchen is called the seven-point posture of Vairochana. The first point is that the legs are crossed. The legs could be crossed in any one of several different ways, or in fact, later on, we'll see that they don't even have to be crossed. Sitting on a chair is quite okay, and we'll talk about little variations. They can be in the lotus posture, which I can't get into. That's where both feet are up like this. This one would cross in front of this and then be up here. It's actually quite difficult for most Westerners to get into the lotus posture. You can work yourself into being able to practice the lotus posture, but you can also damage knees and hips and ankles if you force it too much. So if it's a natural, comfortable thing for you, that's great. It's a very useful posture. And one of the reasons it's so useful is that it's quite stable. It's quite locked. It forces the knees lower than the hips. If you try to just sit flat on the ground and cross your legs, your hips will end up right against the floor and your knees will be slightly up. Your pelvis is a little bit like this. That forces your back round, and you will either slump and get major pain, especially in the neck and the upper back and the lower back. It's unbelievably hard work to hold yourself like that. Or you'll find yourself doing what people do at a picnic, which is leaning back like this, trying to get your back straight by getting this more open angle in your pelvis, which the only way you can do that if you're sitting flat on the ground is to lean back like that. And that also, of course, gets exhausting. So that is why, of course, all the traditions use cushions to get our hips up higher than our knees. It's very nice, these pads under as well, because your ankles, your knees, if you're sitting all day on the hard floor like this, can get uncomfortable. They're very useful. There's also half lotus, which is what I am able to get into for short periods with one leg up, but that tends to put you a little bit like this. It's really not very, very useful. What is often used is called the magician's posture or the sorcerer's posture, where the knees are quite wide and the feet are here tucked up against each other. This is very comfortable, very widely used, very practical posture. You can also sit on a block in Seiza with your feet behind you, or one of these little meditation benches. That's also quite practical. Many people find that very comfortable. That, in a nutshell, is the legs. The second point is the arms and the hands. The posture is with the arms slightly extended, right hand inside, or on top of the left. In the Dzogchen tradition, even with this very orthodox posture, it is just that the hands are folded. The third point is the spine. Now, this is really the most important aspect of the whole posture. The spine is the key to being poised and relaxed and awake. A lot of these other postures, like the legs and the arms, exist to support a natural, poised, relaxed spinal posture. Part of my day job is ergonomic evaluations of people, especially repetitive stress problems with office workers. And I can tell you that this spinal dictums from this tradition are exactly in alignment with what modern ergonomic science tells us about spines and comfort and long-term health. It is really essential. We talk in terms of having a straight spine, but that's not actually accurate. We need to understand that the spine is built with this gentle S-curve. It comes out of the pelvis, tucks in slightly at the sacrum, comes out at the shoulder slightly, and then back in slightly at the neck. And that's very natural. If we try to focus things at standing at attention too much, we can do that, but it's exhausting. You can't breathe right. Your shoulders are going to hurt, your stomach muscles are going to hurt, your back is going to hurt, and then you're going to get so tired, you're going to slump. So you've gone from not quite right to really bad. This hips rotating forward and knees below the hips is a way of allowing the spine to be upright, but in its poised, natural, relaxed S-curve. You can use what's called a gomtak, a meditation belt or strap. But you can see that the weight of my knees trying to go down, which is where they want to go, is pulling on the base of my back. And that's going to keep me upright. Very traditional. Some people will tell you that you really shouldn't lean against anything, you shouldn't have anything against your back. And I know that is the tradition and the posture of many traditions. And if you can sit that way, it's very appropriate, it's very good. But this is also fine. Certainly in terms of Dzogchen, that is not a problem as long as it's not a distraction. The lower spine needs to have its S-curve present in terms of the lower back tucking in slightly rather than smooshing out. If we have a kind of a curve like a C, we're going to be miserable. So you need to remember that S. But it's possible and desirable that that is very relaxed, very poised. Often people say, you're not supporting yourself, you're hanging by a thread. Because the neck and the upper back line up very comfortably and very balanced over that lower spine when it's in its correct position. We have to experiment. A lot of us in the West sit in the office all the time. We're not very athletic. Our muscles are not used to supporting us, so that's why we'll talk about chair options in just a second here. Number four is that the head is slightly down. And this helps us remember to not do this. This is going to make pain, sore muscles, pinched nerves, bad thing. So with the head slightly down, chin slightly down, it opens up the back of the neck and supports that posture all the way from the base of the spine coming up. Fifth one is the mouth, which is slightly open, not tightly closed and not drooling open either. The tongue is six. I'll tell you two different things here because there are two different traditions in terms of Dzogchen. Tongue, you can all see that, right? Tongue touching the palate right at the back of the top teeth, just the tip of it, just touching, is traditional. But in terms of Dzogchen, also there's a tradition of the tongue suspended in the mouth without touching anything. And number seven, the last one, is the eyes. In terms of Dzogchen, there are several different ways to go about it, but one thing that we don't often do is sit with our eyes completely closed. There are many practices of Dzogchen, sitting and otherwise, where the eyes are wide open, not in a forced kind of a way, but in a relaxed way. But what we're going to talk about here is that the eyes are, quote, half open. When your head is slightly down, some people find it best to close the eyes and then try to relax to the point where the eyes just open a little bit. There's a point all of us have where if you just relax, the eyelids will hang in a very relaxed, very steady position where they are both open and closed. Many people don't realize it, but a lot of us sleep this way. You often see kids especially sleeping that way. It's very relaxed, it's very stable, and if the eyes are partly open like that, there's a very beneficial function, which is that there's some light coming in, so we are not completely formless in this dark field where we have a tendency to try to find something to fix to. Having the eyes completely closed can be quite a distraction. You can very effectively sit, practice on a chair or a sofa, as long as the comfort doesn't go into sloth and you get sleepy. If you have a big cushy sofa, you might be leaning back too far. There might not be enough support on your lower spine. You know, this is not watching the game. This is, we're trying to sit comfortably and be aware and alert and stable for however length of time, but that's typically going to be an extended period of time in terms of what we would normally find ourselves doing if we were sitting doing something else. We're going to try to sit still for what in our experience in our normal lives is a long time, even if it's only 20 minutes. We don't normally sit without moving. And that stability in posture in terms of not moving and not needing to move is very important in terms of stability in sitting. Especially at the beginning, stability is critically important. We need a base that is not going to cause us undue distractions because we're going to have enough of those as it is. Yeah, so, you know, an upholstered chair is very nice as long as there's support at the lower back. You can add a pillow if you need a little more to get you more upright. Some people sit in wooden chairs. That can be okay if they're comfortable enough or if you're used to that enough. If you look back in the back corner, that folding chair, the blonde one, these are fatal. There is no support at the lower spine. It's only up top. Your lower back is going to pooch out, and it's going to be hell. Find the right chair. It really makes a difference. It's not that, you know, we're wimpy, useless meditators if we try to sit in a chair like that and it doesn't work out and just causes us misery. Office chairs are really good these days. Lumbar support, ergonomic chairs, nice cushion, can adjust the height. I mean, that's why they're that way. They're really good. One of my favorite ways to sit is on an appropriate sofa, because I like to sit with my legs crossed. But then it's very useful to have appropriate back support. If you're going to sit in a chair and you're having your legs hang down, quote, you don't want your legs to hang down. They should be on the floor or on a cushion or on something. You don't want to dangle them off the edge because you're going to get pins and needles and your circulation's going to stink and you're going to have a distraction. So if the chair's too high and it won't go any lower, get something to put under your feet, which is also an ergonomic dictum. A telephone book, block of wood. These cushions are very nice. These firm cushions are very nice, but your feet shouldn't dangle. Somebody was asking earlier, can you cross your legs? Sure, you can cross your legs, unless it becomes a distraction. You don't want to fidget every few minutes. You don't want to have something that you need to keep shifting. Ideally, flat on the floor, sure, that's fine. But if you want to hook your ankles around each other, as long as that's comfortable and it can stay without causing sensation that draws your attention over and over again. Now, for stability in sitting, it really is important. We'll have so many distractions both in our discursive thoughts and in our other sense fields, that we need that stable physical base. And if you have fidgets and itches and your ankle hurts, and there's no hope of any other stability building on top of that. So in general, any posture that is comfort to the point of not distracting, but not so comfortable that it tends to lead us towards sleepiness, is fine. You can even practice lying down. That's also quite traditional, as long as you stay awake.